we're back. That was the feature that we had with Ellen Gabriel and Chief
Lloyd Phillips.
Chief Lloyd Phillips from Ganawagi. And now we've got Dan's got a couple of news items. I've got one news item. So Dan, why don't you go ahead?
So the first piece comes from the Chicago Tribune, and it's a longer one, but I think it's pretty crucial. Casey Chasing Hawk once loved school so much that he would arrive at his bus stop 30 minutes early. That all changed when Casey was pulled out of his 7th grade class by the Winner School Superintendent, turned over to the police, and thrown into jail for telling a teacher he was so angry at a classmate who beat him that he wanted to kill him. He spent 63 days in a juvenile detention facility 60 miles from his home before the South Dakota Supreme Court determined that his misbehavior didn't amount to disorderly conduct. They claimed he was a monster, so they had to make him look like a monster, said his father, Nelson Chasing Hawk. They did all these evaluations on him, and they found out that his only problem was what they had done to him at that school. What happened to Casey more than 4 years ago is still resonating today in his tiny town near a sprawling Lakota Sioux reservation. It has landed this rural district in southern South Dakota squarely in the middle of a wider debate over how schools discriminate against children of color. Civil rights advocates want to make a national example of this 900-student district over the school-to-prison pipeline, the practice of arresting children and teens for routine school misconduct, such as fighting and disobedience. It's an issue that has garnered the most attention in largely communities of color, such as Chicago, but is all but ignored in Indian country. At the grade school, about 90 Indian children are enrolled in pre-kindergarten to 4th grade, almost one-third of the school's population of 293. But at Winner High School, only about 2% of the graduates are Native American in a typical year. Where do they go? Some drop out. Others go to prison. Most flee to reservation schools that are so far away from their families that they must live in dormitories during the school week. The discipline and enrollment numbers, provided by the district under terms of the federal lawsuit, prompted the American Civil Liberties Union and Lakota Sioux tribal officials to file a complaint this year demanding that the case be reopened by the Civil Rights Office. Bernadine Doran, a Northwestern University law professor and a national expert on the school-to-prison pipeline, said it's important to identify this issue in rural areas because help for these alienated students is hard to find. At least in Chicago, the school board can say everyone has access to an alternative school, Doran said. Most of the time in rural districts, there is no alternative. When kids are pushed out, it's a desperate situation, and they don't have the access to lawyers and advocates who are going to fight on their behalf. It's shocking to see the statistics coming out of this district. They are off the charts in terms of egregiousness, said Catherine Kim, an ACLU lawyer handling the case. But I also think Winner makes it clear that these issues are not confined to urban schools perceived to be dangerous. Winner is an ordinary American town. But in terms of race relations, Winner is very far behind a lot of other places, though perhaps typical of any ordinary American town. A review of disciplinary reports from 2002 to 2004, submitted as part of the civil rights case complaint, revealed that an Aboriginal boy in middle school was suspended for 2 days for walking through an alley rather than using a crosswalk. A girl got the same punishment for chewing gum. An eighth grader drew a 90-day suspension for disrupting class and insubordination, an infraction that calls for a maximum punishment of 4 days suspension. Another eighth grader drew a 4-day suspension for gang-related activity. Get this. Drawing a medicine wheel and writing Native Pride on his notebook. If it's a white kid doing something wrong, it's a kid being a kid. If it's an Indian kid, it's a kid being a criminal, said Dana Hanna, a former New York City criminal defense lawyer who is the attorney general of the Rosebud Reservation's Lakota Sioux tribe. They are educating Indian kids for the role they expect them to fulfill in society, that of criminal defendant, he added. Schools are abdicating their job to police, prosecutors and judges, and they don't see it as a problem. Casey Chasing Hawk learned that role during his 2 months in jail, his parents said. When he returned to Winner, he lost all interest in schoolwork and shut down around his teachers. He dropped out of school, left home, started abusing alcohol and getting in trouble with the law. The 19-year-old's slide is devastating to his parents, who raised Casey in a traditional Lakota home and hoped he would be a leader in the tribal community. His spirit was broken, his mom said. And that, again, is from the Chicago Tribune. And one more piece comes from the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Nanai, the native people of Russia's Far East, many of whom rely on the river Amur for their food and income, are among those most endangered by the imminent arrival of 100 tons of benzene released into a tributary upriver after a deadly Chinese chemical plant explosion on November 13th. The spill in the city of Jilin prompted Chinese authorities to shut down the water supply for Harbin, a northeastern city, for 5 days. A second city was also shut down, fearing contaminations, officials said Saturday. Russian authorities expect the slick to cross the border Saturday or Sunday, and 3 days later reach the regional capital. Restrictions on eating Amur fish could last a year or even several, as toxins linger in the winter ice and riverbed. The native people live from fish, said Natalia Zemina, spokeswoman for the Zarabovsk regional government, but trading in fish will likely be banned. Nina Durtsinia, head of the village administration, said residents already had been warned not to drink Amur water or eat fish. The spill is just the latest example of civilization impinging on traditional customs here, she said. It's hard to have a traditional life when you have legislation, she said, naming restrictions such as fishing and hunting quotas. The Nanai are already coping with years of industrial pollution by chemicals such as phenol, which affects Amur fish in the winter, giving it a chemical smell. This again is from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
All right, boys and girls, we are just about out of time, but we have just a couple of minutes, and I'm just going to bring up a press release from Newswatch 50. It's from the men of the Gayugahagai territory of Akwesasne, dated December 3rd, from the men of the Gayugahagai territory of Akwesasne, issued to the St. Regis Mohawk tribe, claims that the tribe has no authority to bring anything or any entity from a foreign power, such as the U.S. Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, into the community. The release goes on to say that the group does not recognize the legitimacy of the St. Regis Mohawk Tribal Council, calling it a municipal-level government incorporated under foreign laws and saying that it lacks jurisdiction on sovereign territory. It goes on to say that the true government of our people is the Gayugahagai, called the Great Law of Peace in English, saying this is a second warning to the tribe and informing them to change their course of action. The group ends the release with a thinly veiled threat, saying any violation of our laws, such as bringing in a foreign entity like the ATTB, will be taken as an act of aggression and will be dealt with accordingly. The next day, the St. Regis tribe decided not to enter into a memorandum of understanding on cigarette manufacturing with the ATTB. Instead, the tribal council says it will be up to individual cigarette manufacturers whether to pursue a permit from the ATTB. The tribal chief, Lorraine White, said that based on input from the community, the tribal council is opting out of the MOU. The ATTB representatives are still required to seek permission from the tribal council to enter Akwesasne territory before conducting such inspections, the council said. Now, it is just a minute to seven, and that does it for NATO Solidarity News. Soul Perspectives is coming up. And so, what do you guys got to say?
Have a good week.
Good night.
I do want to do one small plug. It's a personal plug. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but my mother's artwork is on the Canadian postage stamp. It made it onto the Canadian postage stamp. It's a native artwork, and I don't think this is the first time it's ever been on. But if you're ever using a stamp with some native sculptures on it, that's my mother's work out there. Now, that's all for NSN. What we got is a little piece of music coming at you. Have a nice week.
I've got a gal that lives on the wrong side of town.
side, another place. I like it there, no accounting for taste. Can't think of nothing when I'm without her but the rain and the wind and the cemetery dirt. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried, I had to dig her up. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried, I had to dig her up. 18,000 miles across nowhere land. Scratching and I'm spitting, ain't nobody listening. Things are kind of getting out of hand. There's only one point that I'd like to make. These kind of things deteriorate. Well, it's the gospel truth, man. It's season bought me love juice. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried, I had to dig her up. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried, I had to dig her up. Looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried. I had